Well, in this series, we've been talking a lot about that the goal as a Christian, our goal is to really get to the place where we really truly believe that Jesus is worth building our whole lives around. But that happens in, that's a process that we all go through. And what we've talked quite a bit about the fact that we won't do things that we don't feel we're ready for. We won't do something until we feel that we're ready for it. No matter if other people may think we're ready for it, none of that matters. We won't do something until we actually feel that we're ready to do that. And readiness seems to go in stages. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this today from the context of a topic that I think you're all going to be super excited to cover this morning, because we're going to talk about your bodies. I didn't say my body, I said your body. We're going to talk about your body. Now, everyone's heard the statistics, you know, 2/3 of American adults are overweight. That's 135 million adults. I thought it was interesting that this topic, God put this on my heart after the Super Bowl party last weekend when I probably ate more than I've eaten in like 5 years. But I had to get that out of the way first. So, but eating too much is kind of normal for a lot of us. I know that it's normal for me. I sometimes I feel like the guy that goes to the doctor and for his checkup, and the doctor asks him, "So, are you living a normal life?" And the guy goes, "Oh yeah, doctor, I'm totally living a normal life." And the doctor goes, "Well, you're going to have to cut that out for a while." But you know, there's food, but we're in church, so how about coffee? You know, a lot of people are addicted to coffee. I was reading this list of how you know if you're addicted to coffee, if you drink too much coffee. One of the things was, you know you're drinking too much coffee when you answer the door before people knock. You know you're drinking too much coffee when you can play ping pong by yourself. I'm just trying to picture that. Yeah. You know you drink too much coffee when you chew on other people's fingernails. My favorite, though, is, you know you drink too much coffee when you can jumpstart your car without cables. There's overeating, there's coffee, there's smoking, there's all sorts of stuff. How about sweets? I love sweets. A balanced diet is a chocolate chip cookie in both hands. But what I want to talk to you guys about this morning is reasons why God wants us to take care of our bodies. And I'm going to really try to blast through this. There's three things that I want us to focus on. And our main text this morning is from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. So if you have your Bible, you can go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And we're going to be looking at reasons why God wants us to take care of our bodies, why God cares about our bodies, and why we need to care about our bodies. The first reason is that you need to know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" I find it interesting that this is in the form of a question. Paul writes this, and it's in the form of a question because you might not know this. You might not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or you may not know what that means. If you're a Christian, meaning if you've made the conscious decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then God Himself dwells in your heart. He dwells in your heart. If you're not a Christian yet, if you haven't made that conscious decision, then that's something that we're going to talk about at the end of our service. We're going to guide you through those steps. But if you are a Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a sacred space. I find it interesting that in the world's view and other Eastern religions and things like that, a temple is really focused on a building or a place where people gather or where people are focused on. But a true temple isn't about people. A true temple is where God is where God dwells, where God resides. And if you're a Christian, God dwells in you. You, your body, is a sacred space. Now, you may wish your temple was smaller. You may wish your temple, your sacred space, was less or taller. Or you may wish, you may hope that you recognize the need for a fresh coat of paint on your temple. Or you may need a full-on demolition and remodel. But no matter what your situation is, right now, as you sit here, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a sacred space. God dwells within you. Now, this all goes back to Exodus chapter 33. And I want to just briefly take you through the stages that got us to where we are today. So if you have your Bibles, let's go with me to Exodus chapter 33. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 6. But in Exodus 33, God has sent Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And they're on the journey to the promised land together. And we start in verse 7. It says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." God and the people of Israel were just getting acquainted at this point. They were just getting to know each other. And what better way to get to know each other than to go on a trip together? Anybody ever get in the car with somebody that you don't really know that well and have to go on a trip? It's one of the best ways to get to know somebody. You're prisoners in the car for however many hours, right? You find out things that you don't even necessarily want to know about the other person or whatever. But what a great way to get to know each other, God and the people, on a trip together. Not just a trip even, on a camping trip. They're living in tents. I don't do camping, but I hear it's really good for getting close to people. So Moses would set up a tent, it said, outside the camp, some distance from the people. He'd call it the tent of meeting. And that tent was a temporary temple because God would come and dwell in that tent and meet with Moses. It was a temporary temple. And the people recognized that. They saw the pillar of the cloud would come down. They know God's here and he's talking to Moses. And they would worship. They were reverent enough to know, wow, this is God. He's at the tent. But the tent was a distance from them. They weren't close to the tent. They stayed at a distance, even though that was not what God wanted. But because they were just now getting acquainted, God respected their fear and their worry and anxiety enough to go, it's okay, you guys stay over there, I'll stay over here. We're getting to know each other. We fast forward about 500 years. 1 Kings chapter 8. It's the grand opening of the temple that King Solomon built. He used the plans and the materials that his father David provided. And so it's the grand opening of this temple, this massive thing that he has built. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning of verse 10. It says, when the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud, there's the cloud again, filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. And while the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and blessed them. Again, the glory of God comes and fills this temple. Now it's not a tent anymore. Now it's a building that has been built with the best materials available. And all of Israel is standing there watching this. They see the cloud. They see God come down. They're closer now, but still not as close as God would want them to be. We fast forward almost 1,000 years from that time. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Jesus has been crucified, resurrected. He's back in heaven. And 120 believers are together in one room praying. And then on the day of Pentecost, and then the Holy Spirit comes that launches the church. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The church is launched. Peter preaches. 3,000 people get saved. And they ask, what do we do? What do we do now? And his answer is found in verse 38 and verse 39. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now the Holy Spirit is in his people. There's no longer a distance. There's no longer a worry or fear or anxiety or anything like that. Now, what God wanted all along has happened and is true. You are the temple of God. God dwells in you always, every day, all the time. But with being the temple of God comes responsibilities. There's responsibilities. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And then he basically says, "Do you not know that you are not your own?" Do you not know that you're not your own? Each of us has been given the responsibility to take care of something that belongs to God and that He considers to be sacred. And that's your body. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, and He considers it to be sacred. So we have the responsibility to take care of what belongs to Him. Pastor Rick Warren says this regarding this topic. He says, quote, "This life is preparation for our next life, which will last forever and eternity. God is testing you on earth to see what He can trust you with in eternity. He is watching how you use your time, your money, your talents, your opportunities, your mind, and yes, even your body. Are you making the most of what you've been given? God isn't going to evaluate you on the basis of the bodies He gave to other people, but He will judge what you did with what you have been given." This is stewardship. And Pastor Warren connects taking care of our bodies with every other area of stewardship when it comes to God. Your time, your talent. Your time doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It's a gift. Your talent doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It was a gift. Your money, your resources, sorry, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It was a gift that was given to you. You have been given the responsibility to manage, to steward everything that God has given to you. And that's what you will be judged upon when you stand before the Lord at the end of your life. It's interesting, you know, this is one of the biggest struggles that we have as people. The mindset of, well, this is mine. This belongs to me. I hear people say stuff like, it's none of your business what I do with my, and then fill in the blank. Right? We've probably all said that, haven't we? I've said that. It's none of your business what I do with my money, my time, my body. I've never heard someone say, it's none of your business what I do with God's fill in the blank. Never heard someone say that. But stewardship is simply managing the resources that God has given us. It's a sacred responsibility, whether it's your body or your resources or whatever else it is. And bad things happen. Bad things happen when we don't manage the things that God has given us. I heard a story this past week about, it was about 12:55 p.m. when there was a Mayday call that came into the Flight Service Center in Alaska. And the pilot of a Piper A-22, a small single-engine plane, had radioed in the Mayday call. He was out of fuel and was about to have to ditch his plane into the icy waters of the Cook Inlet in Alaska. And there were four people on the plane, two adults and two young girls, ages 11 and 12. The pilot had failed to top off the fuel tank when they took off. Normally, it would be a routine flight. But that day, there was real strong headwinds, and he didn't top off the tank. So he ran out of fuel over the inlet. And the Cook Inlet is one of the most dangerous waterways in the world. Crazy current, glacial currents, and just freezing cold. The air traffic controller, when he got the call, and he heard the tail number of the plane, he realized that his daughter was one of the girls that was on the plane. So he's desperately trying to help the pilot get through this when suddenly the radio transmission cuts off. The plane had crashed into the water. There were four helicopters that were close by that searched. They didn't even find any trace of the plane or the survivors. For reasons we'll never know, the pilot chose not to top off the tank, even though it was available to him. The plane didn't have water survival gear on board. For some reason, he didn't put that on the plane. And for some reason, he must not have checked the weather report to know that that he would be facing headwinds. It just, as I was reading the story, I just kept thinking, I wonder how many other people have died for no reason because someone didn't manage their resources the way they should have. And you can't help but think, I wonder how many people have died without Jesus because someone didn't manage their resources, the things that God had given them. Kirk Nowery, he said, the stewardship of resources is a serious business, and God's will is that we give it serious attention. This demands that we have the right perspective on our resources, and that is possible only if we have the right focus on our source. You have to know that your body is not your own. That leads us to the last thing that we need to know, and that is to know that your body was made by the Lord and for the Lord. Your body is made by the Lord and for the Lord. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our bodies, for whatever reason, God has set it up that He would work through people. It was His decision. We'll always wonder why, but He has decided that he will accomplish His work on the earth through people, through us, through our bodies. In our Bible study, our men's group Wednesday night, J.D. Greer, the teacher that we're listening to, he mentioned that when you study the book of Acts, every example of the gospel being presented to someone was through the mouth of a human. Isn't that interesting? Why wouldn't God just bring angels and have angels preach the gospel? Instead of that, it's always people. It's always people. Are the five purposes of the church that we talk quite a bit about. All five purposes involve our bodies. God has chosen that our bodies would be the means that He would work through. There was a man by the name of William Sangster who was a well-known preacher in England back in the 1950s. And he's a great example of someone that he understood this. One day he noticed some kind of weird feeling in his throat and some problem that was going on with his leg. So he goes to the doctor and he finds out that he has some incurable disease that was going to pretty much waste his muscles away. So he decided to pour himself into his efforts to reach people for Jesus, through, you know, before the end of his life. And he figured that no matter what happened, he would still be able to write. And that he would now, he would have even more opportunity to pray. And so he prayed to the Lord. He said, God, let me stay in the struggle. I won't be able to do what I used to do, but show me what other ways I can do. How else I can be used by you. Well, gradually his legs wasted away. He wasn't able to use his legs. Then his voice, his ability to speak, went away. But he could still use a pen. He wrote books. He wrote articles. He organized prayer cells all over the country. And on Easter morning, just a few weeks before he died, he wrote a letter to his daughter. And in his letter, he said, "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. God cares about your body, so shouldn't you care about your body? We're to honor God with our bodies. So, are you putting things in your body that would honor God? Food, drink, smoke, whatever. How about visual things that you're putting in your body? The things you watch, the movies, the television, the internet, pornography. What about the auditory things you put in your body? The things you listen to, the music you listen to, negative people you listen to, bad language you listen to. There's just things that we put in our bodies. But then there's the dreaded E word. Exercise. You take care of your body in that way. What about rest? Do you sleep enough? Do you manage stress the way you should? Do you take a Sabbath? Do you honor the Sabbath? A lot of times people talk about stress and rest, but probably the biggest areas that produce stress in our lives are having a bad attitude about people and about stuff. You have a bad attitude about people. You have unforgiveness. You have resentment. When you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and when you know that your body no longer belongs to you, and when you know that your body was made by and for the Lord, you will take care of your temple. So I've got to ask this question as we close. If you had to stand before the Lord tonight and give an account for how you've cared for your body, would you be ready? It's kind of a scary thought. Or would you be like, see, I've got 6 hours, man. I got to clean this stuff up. You know, I got to, I was at the gym today, God. You know, it's kind of like when your in-laws find out your in-laws are coming over and you're like, oh, you're just stuffing things underneath the couch and whatever. You had to stand before God today. Would you be able to give an account of, I did everything that I could with what you gave me, God, including my body? The good news is that it's not too late to start to surrender every aspect of your physical, your mental, your spiritual health to God. Start with talking to God about your situation. Repent if you need to repent. Ask God to help you become a good steward of what God's given you. And then you have to make the changes. You've got to make the healthy changes to honor God with your body. Would you guys bow your heads? Lord, we just want to take this time to acknowledge what you have spoken to us today. God, I just ask that you would seal your word in our hearts. With every head bowed, this is the time in our service where we respond to whatever it is God is speaking to us. This is the time where God speaks. And it's important for us to not just be mere hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word of God. If you're here today and if you have not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, this is an opportunity for you to make that conscious decision to surrender your heart to Him. To say yes to His gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of your sins, and that He would come into your heart, that He would dwell with you, that He would guide the rest of your life and guide you into eternity. And so if you're here and if you've made that decision today, either for the first time or maybe it's a time of rededicating your life, coming back to relationship with Him. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right now? I just want to lead you, guide you in a simple prayer that would establish your faith. Next, I want to ask, what has God spoken to you in regards to what you heard this morning? Are you taking care of your body? Are you managing the resources that God has given you? Are you stewarding in a way that's honoring to God, whatever it might be? It may not just be your body. It may be your time, your talent, your resources, whatever it might be. But if you feel that God has spoken to you about one of these issues, if God has challenged you, maybe God has convicted you, But you know that God has spoken to you and wants you to make some change or adjustment based on what you've heard today, would you just lift your hand right now as well? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever that is, now is the time between you and God to acknowledge, to say yes, to agree with God and say, yes, Lord, whatever that might be, whatever changes God is calling you to do, He will give you the grace to be able to accomplish those things. And so just acknowledge that to the Lord now. Lord God, you've seen the hands that have been raised throughout the sanctuary this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will meet each person by the grace that you've established for them, God. I pray that you will help them, Lord, be victorious in these areas in their lives, God. That you will be able to work through them to make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise?